The following interview was recorded at the University of Vienna during the Very Large Database Conference in September of 2007. Shall we start? So, good morning. My name's Ross King. We're here discussing the recent keynote speech of Dr. Werner Vogels at the VLDB conference. Dr. Vogels comes from the Netherlands, studied at the Vrije Universiteit Amsterdam, was a professor at Cornell, and is presently the Chief Technology Officer of Amazon.com in Seattle. So you've migrated west constantly. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Let's start off with something personal. I noticed in my background research that you have your own blog called All Things Distributed. Do you actually have any time to work on that next to your normal duties?
Well, I think I wish I had more time. I think it's important to have, you know, an additional communication medium to reach more people. I actually started writing my blog when I was still a researcher, and this was in the earlier days when blogs were not that common. Definitely not in academia. I had a grand vision of changing how we distribute information of researchers in those days. I didn't really exceed made that happen. So I believe, for example, that the paper publishing cycle for academics is ridiculous. I was at Amazon already 2.5 years when I got a notification from an editor that he was publishing a paper that I had submitted 5 years ago. And actually, I was not the main author, so I hadn't done all the revisions. But it's kind of, especially in a fast-moving field like ours, it seems like that a year to 2 years for your research results to actually get them out there and get people using them is way too large. And I think I would encourage students, especially graduate students, to blog frequently about what are your research results. Also, because I strongly believe that negative experiences are more important than positive experiences. Yeah. So as a graduate student, you know, it's very difficult to learn from all these great papers, because all these papers are great, you know, all the great results, everything went fine, you know, we had all these researches, this great result. Nothing talks about the pain and talks about all the things. What are good criteria to not go further with this particular research, or why did this fail? We learn much more from failures than we learn from positive experience, I think, in education. So a blog could be a great medium there to communicate with your fellow students about all your experiences.
I think we're all familiar with the pain of the very long publishing cycle. On your blog, I noticed you have a category or an article discussing different types of CTOs. Perhaps you could shortly explain how your position at Amazon as CTO is in practice.
Well, in practice, I think, so the most important part, I think, at a technology company like Amazon, the role of the CTO is mainly to think about where should technology go 5 years from now, or maybe 10 years from now. So I really look at, you know, the horizon of kind of technologies that we need to develop within Amazon to make the business go where we want it to go. And of course, in the context of this conference, things like availability, performance, and high scalability of data systems is just a hot topic, because that will take our business. That will need to, that's the foundation of our business for years to come. And, you know, thinking about how big will Amazon be 5 years from now? What is the problems there? Also, the other side. So this is where technology enables the business.
Visionary category.
Yeah, but there's also the other part, and which is also technology visionary, I like to believe, is what kind of businesses can we go into just because we can develop these new kind of technologies? I know Johannes in his introduction mentioned Mechanical Turk, for example, which is a way of getting work to human labor and actually collect the results and bring them back again. You know, this is a way of, you know, thinking about, oh, we can develop this technology. What is the kind of new businesses that we can build around there? So those are two sides. There's an interaction, especially if you're, now that we're really deep in the business of selling services to enterprise level customers, Of course, a lot of contact with your customers, getting their feedback, getting interested in what are their problems, and how can Amazon be better provider of these services to these large enterprise customers, as well as to Web 2.0 companies and universities and other places.
I'm sure it was a surprise to me and probably many in the audience to hear the first message that Amazon.com is not a retailer but a technology provider. Seeing as we're here at the Very Large Database Conference, I thought I'd ask what your opinion or what you consider very large to be.
So very large is always in context, of course. I believe our data, let me put it that the database vendor says that our data warehouse is one of the 10 largest in the world. I think we're around 100 terabytes. So that's, in terms of databases, one of the largest. But with large, I mainly, for me, large is, you know, 65 million customers with all of their shopping carts. It is also often large in context of performance. You know, how can we serve access to all this information very fast, very reliably? Those issues are often more important to me than the complete size of data set. Data set size often is not the biggest issue. I think it's getting access to it in a reliable manner with clear service level agreements around it.
Another clear topic of the talk was that one size does not fit all, and that for many different data applications in the Amazon.com site, you have very different requirements. How do you feel I feel we're somewhat heavily dependent on the relational database model, and maybe this has been a hindrance to research and industry in some way. How do you feel about that issue?
Well, I think, first of all, I did not want this talk to turn out to be relational database bashing. But I do believe that most of our brightest minds in industry have been employed by the database industry. And of course, they have heavily invested in a single code base and want this code base to evolve to serve as many different customers as possible. For them, it's very difficult to, you know, start completely different product lines just to solve one particular subset of something that they think that could be solved with a relational database. I think our main issue is not necessarily with the relational side of things. It's really that if you have all these very complex, if you have all this complex functionality, then it's very difficult to actually manage performance and availability in a very cost-effective manner, especially with respect to scaling. I like to believe there's a clear limit to how far we can scale relational databases, just given the complexity of the kind of functionality that they offer. I like to believe that Pat Halland used to say, you know, a two-phase commit is the unavailability protocol. Yet we've not gone much further in terms of developing other types of, you know, distributed transaction protocols that are actually better available. Three-phase commit, we can do it, but it's just heavily expensive. So instead of building out these very complex protocols and very complex structures, at Amazon we've taken the approach to decompose things into much simpler building blocks, where those simple building blocks, we can actually make them scale and make them performant in a manner that you could never do with these very big, complex engines. So is it a hindrance to see, you know, if you have these kind of results that they're not immediately applied? Let's say if you have research results that would help, for example, companies like Amazon, they're not immediately applied in industry as products. But I like to believe that if you look at the traditional product cycle, it sometimes takes 10 to 15 years for ideas to really materialize and become big products. For example, I really like to believe that there is a market out there for a very simple primary key only data store that is just incrementally scalable, very cheap, is really dirt cheap as possible, that would be, you know, available to everyone. I'm sure that we'll see, but I hope that we will see things in that direction.
You've just mentioned, and we talked before about the publishing cycle, the time to market for research is actually too slow for today's business. So given that fact, what role can the universities and research institutions really play to support, for example, the development of Amazon?
Well, one thing I think, and it's always been an important part of especially graduate research, is internships, I think, play a key role in the distribution of technology, research ideas towards industry, and also for industry to actually interact with to have their ideas or to influence the way that industry that research is moving. My sole reason for showing up here today, of course, next to that I want to hire everybody that was in that room, is also to give a glimpse of what is the kind of scale issues that Amazon is faced with and that we really, really would like people's help with. It is very hard, I think, also given the current intellectual property management domain to have easier collaborations with universities. Yeah. Who owns intellectual property? How can we protect ourselves? If you publish something about a particular database system and it turns out that you were not the first one about that, your career will not be ruined. As a company, however, if you publicly going down a path showing that you use particular techniques, and it turns out you were not the first one, this might cost you tens of millions of dollars. Yeah, and so there's many challenges in the relationship between companies and universities, I think. But internships, especially at Amazon, are extremely important.
Would you have any particular advice for students who are now studying computer sciences?
Go into nanobiology. Sorry, I didn't want to say that. I think get internships early. I think it's very important. I think especially even if you think that you may be a professor later, I think building early relationships with industry is very important, especially if you're in the database world. It is very good to get a glimpse of what reality is. On one hand, for example, how are the traditional IT shops using enterprise-level software? And on the other hand, how are the large shops, the Amazon, Googles, eBays of this world using this technology? Just to force a little bit of different thinking. Remember, most of your professors never had a real job a day in their life. Yeah, they wouldn't know how to build a system, only from theory. And so the reality of day-to-day work is much more important than I think sometimes academics think. So get an internship early and try to get as many of them as possible.
I think the comment about nanobiology was nevertheless semi-serious because, as you pointed out in your talk, we maybe have a lot to learn from biological systems about computing. Can you say anything more about that topic?
Well, I think... especially, I think about if you really want to let your systems grow really big, very quickly you run into the point that centralized control does not work. It's clear that centralized control can only be achieved by using tricks and by actually limiting the inputs to the system. Now, if systems grow really large, then often you cannot predict what kind of interactions there will be with the system. So your system needs to be able to self-organize itself much more than have one particular rigid form put upon it from top down. Now, many of biological systems are self-organizing. I mean, Turing already gave those three different, I mean, there's organized, there's self-organizing, what's the one in the middle, the one that's more AI-like. Let's not go there. I mean, I don't think there's a future necessarily there. But I do believe that self-organizing systems, especially for very large scale systems, is where the future is. And that's the way that the whole service oriented architecture at Amazon works, in a complete self-organized manner.
You also mentioned in your talk the biological term apoptosis, programmed death. Was that related to the problem of system failures and the ability for systems to really recognize that they failed and shut down, or is there another metaphor behind that term?
I use it more to show that large systems quickly become, have this flux in them where pieces die and get resurrected, or where there is a continuous flow of renewal. And especially because if you look at biological systems, they're very complex. Yet they seem to achieve this complexity and do all these complex tasks without centralized control, with many of its components being renewed and failing all the time. And I see it more as something very hopeful. I like to believe that we will get, once we understand biological systems much better, we can use that as input to the way that we build our computer systems. If nature is capable of doing that at this particular large scale, eventually we must be able to do this for our simple databases as well.
So I've what I notice now is that I didn't come up with a good closing question. There is something here. What would you think the major IT trends would be in the coming year? But this is very vague. But
awesome that. More e-commerce. Now, do I think? I think, and this is not necessarily IT trends. I think if you look at more at other markets as well, we see a clear trend towards a more service-oriented industry. Of course, this started early with the lean computing of some of the Japanese companies, where really offered services and then kind of aggregate these services into products. I like to believe that if you look at worldwide scale, we see more and more of these kind of economic patterns arising. Of course, it's more evident in the IT world, where we go from a traditional cycle that is really, determine the impact of your particular product. You go and build it. You go and estimate what kind of resources you need for it. You go and deploy it. It's a very long 2, 3, 4 year cycle. We're going to move to a much more agile approach, where it is more about finding the resources that you have, connecting those resources together, then doing some innovation on top of that, bringing those resources together, and then do a quick evaluation of whether you're actually delivering the products that you want. And where then the feedback cycle is more about swapping out resources, getting other resources to help you build this new product, more than it is about going back from scratch and developing release number V 2.4 or something like that. So the services world, I think small services that deliver very targeted functionality that can be used in composition with other services, I think is a big trend. And especially where traditional companies want to move to software as a service more, I think is important. Related to that, I believe the whole utility computing space is heating up. Amazon is clearly an early player in the utility compute space, mainly to take away many of the pains that we have with very large, managing very large software environments. It's difficult to manage data centers. Many of the current software providers would like to go into providing their software as a service, yet they have no expertise in running this service in a data center, how to deal with all the availability, how to order servers, how to get bandwidth, all these kind of things. So I like to believe the utility compute space in that sense is heating up in how to provide services for companies that want to start providing software as a service.
Well, then I'll say thank you very much.